These states, they said, would remain loyal to the Union only so long as the Lincoln administration would do two things: guarantee slavery where it existed, that is, guarantee it within their borders, and refrain from moving against the states that had already seceded. So Lincoln is waiting, Seward is waiting, and they're watching, they're corresponding with people in the South, they're trying to get an accurate reading of what's going on in the South, but their belief is very strong that there's Unionist sentiment that simply hasn't showed itself yet. The crisis came to focus on Fort Sumter, and let's move to Sumter. A federal fort, as yet unfinished, nearly finished, but not quite finished, sitting in Charleston Harbor, a substantial piece of military engineering, garrisoned by Major Robert Anderson, a Kentuckian, and a small contingent of United States soldiers. Now, in his inaugural address, Lincoln very adeptly, and in his usual brilliant, I think, use of language, sought to place responsibility for the start of hostilities on the Confederacy. He said that the federal government will hold, occupy, and possess its property in the South. Hold, occupy, and possess its property in the South, and collect duties and imports. He also said there will be no invasion, no using of force beyond what may be necessary for these objects. In your hands, my dissatisfied fellow countrymen, and not in mine, is the momentous issue of civil war. The government will not assail you. You can have no conflict without being yourselves the aggressors. It was a brilliant speech that left deliberately vague just what occupy and possess might mean. How Lincoln meant to collect the customs duties and so forth. How could he do all that without using force? Just exactly what did he mean? Well, he didn't specify exactly what he meant, but he in effect lobbed the ball into the Confederacy's court to see what they would do with it. Again, he's mainly hoping to buy time to let unionism work in the Deep South and the Upper South. But time ran out. James Buchanan had faced a crisis at Sumter earlier back in January because he had found out that supplies were low in the fort, and he had sent an unarmed ship with reinforcements. That ship, the Star of the West, had been fired upon by batteries in Charleston Harbor. Remember, only two states were out of the Union at that point. This is early in January, January 9th, 1861. Only South Carolina and Mississippi had yet left the Union. There's no Confederacy yet when the Star of the West approaches Fort Sumter. The vessels fired upon, tensions escalate, but no general fighting resulted from that. Both sides postured, but war didn't come. And after that incident at Sumter, it became a tremendously important symbol, a growing symbol to both the North and the South. Much of the North saying, it's ours, it's federal property, we need to take it. And in the South, white Southerners saying, it's in Charleston Harbor, it's part of South Carolina, it should belong to the Confederacy. We can't let the United States government continue to hold that. It's enormously important psychologically. Most Republicans were adamantly against giving up Fort Sumter. Confederates just as adamant that it was theirs and they should have it. Word came from Major Anderson on March 5th, 1861, just after Abraham Lincoln is in office, that he had to have supplies or he couldn't hold out. Convinced that Northern public opinion wouldn't tolerate giving up the fort, Lincoln decided to send an unarmed ship with provisions. I'm not sending soldiers, I'm not sending ammunition, I'm only sending provisions to the garrison at Fort Sumter. Now, he acted against the advice of a number of his advisors in this decision. Secretary of State William Henry Seward said, it's not worth the risk, don't do this, Mr. President. Winfield Scott, the General-in-Chief of the United States Armies and the greatest soldier in the United States at this point, in fact, one of the greatest soldiers in United States history, Winfield Scott. Scott also recommended against doing this. But Lincoln said, I'm not going to abandon the fort. And he understood better than Scott, I think, and better than Seward, just how important Sumter had become as a symbol to people in the North, and especially to Republicans in the North. He knew that if he let it go,